This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
And good evening, everyone. You're listening to Lefty Pinkos. I'm Emma. Patrick's on the panel, working hard.
Oh, always, as always for you, Emma. We've got a great show on today.
We do have a great show on today. And today it's part two.
Part two.
Part two. 3 weeks ago, we spoke to Lynn Search from Pride and Diversity in Sydney. She's their Workplace Education and Relationship Manager, about the efforts employers are making to actively engage with their LGBTIQ employees. We also had a bit of a dive into LGBTIQ employee networks that many employers operate to give a voice to those employees. This week, we hope to be joined again by Lynn to develop the discussion further around the issues for transgender and LGBTQ women in the workplace. Good evening, Lynn.
Hello, good evening.
And we're very pleased to have you willing to come back and talk to us some more.
It's great to be back.
I love that you say so willing.
Extremely willing.
Of course. Lovely
now,
to be here.
When we spoke 3 weeks ago, we talked about LGBTIQ networks generally. This week, we're going to dig into trans issues and LGBTQ women, and the I think focused a little bit on the Sapphire network you run, but also the reasons for that. We'll try and dig into in part two.
Now, fantastic.
An employer will have lesbian, gay and bisexual employees and will probably understand that sexuality doesn't impact gender expression, or will have an expectation that it doesn't. Boys are boys, girls are girls, and they can cope with that. With transgender employees and intersex and queer and non-binary gender identities and expressions becoming more visible, there is more to this than just looking at sexuality on its own. Now, if we look at transgender employees and other gender diverse expressions, this is a bit of a challenge for not only employers, but employees as well. Do you view it as a special area to work in, or just lump it in with other LGBTIQ inclusion initiatives?
Yeah, look, great question. Look, ultimately, as we know, look, we each and every one of us has a right to be ourselves at work. And these are the types of messages that we want to be able to educate employers on, to be able to then share with their employees. We all have a right to feel safe in the workplace. We all have a right to bring our full self to work. So with the inclusion of our gender diverse employees and our transgender employees, of course, this is no different. You know, at Pride and Diversity, we support our employers and their employees in all aspects of LGBTIQ workplace inclusion. And this, of course, includes transgender and gender diverse inclusion as well. So, you know, while we educate on reducing stigma and really start to explore diversity in this space, we ensure that in all of our awareness sessions, there is an element that really highlights the importance of demystifying the acronym, because we're so much more than letters, aren't we? And, you know, and also increasing awareness on just how much diversity exists in, you know, what I always say is, you know, this beautiful human family that we're a part of. So, you know, through our sessions, we provide, you know, employees and employers, you know, from all over the businesses that we work with, you know, really starting to unravel and understand the difference between gender identity, sexual orientation, gender expression, and sex, or, you know, or the body, you know, which is a really important place to begin, because, of course, this really only is the beginning. But without that understanding and that increased awareness, we're unable to move forward. So we do provide not only those elements within our training programs, but also on top of that, comprehensive gender transition support programs, where we also, you know, upskill HR leaders and other people leaders in, you know, transgender support and diverse gender support, which is equally important.
Now, there'll be a lot of employers who have never, and HR departments, where they've never had to deal with a transitioning employee, or to use the terminology, someone transitioning in place. Where I work, the comment was made, we've never had someone transition in place, and we're not sure if we've got any other trans employees. And that,
because you definitely, like, that's how it works. It's just you get with everyone. Sorry, I'm adding the sarcasm. It's like you have to be with other people to transition. It sounds like a...
Yeah. You don't,
sounds like making a queen bee.
Yeah, but you don't always know if you've employed someone who has previously transitioned. And so there's that. But what I found is that it added a hell of a lot of pressure back onto the transitioning employee to guide the employer through what was expected and what was needed. And fortunately, mine was pretty accommodating because they rather liked having someone telling them rather than having to work it out for themselves. But someone who doesn't have the seniority in the organisation, is much younger, might find that just too intimidating.
Definitely. And I don't believe, and certainly at Pride and Diversity, we don't believe that the onus should be on any individual who happens to be gender diverse or who happens to be transgender within the workplace or within your team or your organisation. The onus shouldn't be on that individual or indeed those individuals to do the work or to, you know, create the policies or programs. Absolutely not. If an individual put their hand up, for example, whether they might be a part of an LGBTIQ network and happen to identify as gender diverse or happen to be transgender, who might put their hand up to say, look, I actually want to develop my skills and I want to provide assistance and support in whatever way that I can in the development of these policies or within this education program that we're delivering or developing, then sure, you know, that's absolutely fine. But certainly the onus shouldn't be placed on that individual at all. That's certainly part of the communication and education that we do share with our members and non-members alike, because that's important.
You're listening to Lefty Finkos on Joy 94.9, and we're talking to Lynn Search from Pride and Diversity, live from Sydney. Thanks for joining us, Lynn.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, you mentioned before, and something that I've thought about a little bit, is utilising, I guess, employee advocates where an employer finds they're lacking some detailed policy in some areas, such as transgender employees wishing to transition. Is this the sort of thing that your programs cover, or is it just, you know, fortuitous if you find them?
No, we certainly do cover that. In fact, we've seen a huge trend, if you will, or uptake, for want of a better word, in the last 12 months specifically, in more and more organisations, both large and small businesses across Australia, really starting to pick up in this area of diversity and inclusion and want to engage with us to indeed either create, implement or launch their very own gender transition policy or guide or program or process that does show an active element of support for their gender diverse employees and their transgender employees. So I've been working very closely alongside the rest of the team here at Pride and Diversity with many of our organisation members of ours who have been creating those documents, and certainly we don't need to reinvent the wheel in many ways. There's been some fantastic policies, guides and documentation that's been created over the last 12 months and beyond, and certainly we're seeing more organisations implementing those now. And what we do know through the annual employee survey this year, of which the results have just been analysed, 80% of gender diverse staff who were surveyed across Australian workplaces in the last 12 months are telling us that they are aware of the existence of these inclusion policies for transgender employees, which not only indicates there's been an uptake and an increase in activity in this space, but also that many of the organisations who now have these in place are also effectively communicating them out to staff, which is a good thing.
We want to move on because, in the interests of time, something I do want to cover off and is part of your Pride and Diversity work. You've specifically set out an area that is your Sapphire Initiative, which is directed at women and trans women, as being an area that requires specific focus. Why is that?
Sapphire came about because it was becoming quite clear, and quite visibly clear, in fact, that many inclusion initiatives, many of the LGBTI inclusion initiatives and networks that were being built up and created and developed by organisations, were lacking one key component, if you will, that being visible women who identified as either lesbian, bisexual, or indeed transgender women as well. So for that reason, Sapphire launched last year and has really been, I guess, developed to enable members who choose to participate with the opportunity to network, the opportunity to role model, and also the opportunity to begin to discuss together so that we can come to an understanding to address the dual impacts of being a woman and sexually or gender diverse in the workplace today, which has often been referred to as a double glazed glass ceiling, and also to engage more lesbian, bisexual and transgender women within and across workplace and their inclusion initiatives while increasing the visibility of our role models.
Is there a tendency, I guess, numbers that finding those women who have the confidence to be role models in the more open spaces, is that an issue? Are there more males involved in these networks and that then you end up with the same male dynamic?
There certainly are many more males in those networks and certainly at many of the networking events. You know, I recall going along to a Pride in Diversity conference some years ago now before I actually joined the team, walking into the conference on day one and looking around and just being amongst a sea of men and just thinking, oh gosh, where are the women? Am I the only one when I first walked in? You know, where are my sisters, so to speak? So this is certainly one of the reasons that Sapphire was launched, as I've mentioned. And yes, we are in the process of developing a network of women so that we can together increase the amount of research, not only here in Australia, but that's being done internationally in this really important space, to start to unpack some of the issues and understand some of the challenges. But it is important, and this is why we have developed Sapphire in this way, to ensure that regardless of whether a woman is out or not in her workplace, she's very welcome to join Sapphire and to be a part of this program. Confidentiality is key and will be an aspect that we continue to provide for our Sapphire women for as long as we need to, as, you know, we work together to create positive change in this space.
If you have a smaller employee group in your LGBTI network, is the benefit of Sapphire that it's drawing women from lots of organisations, therefore giving you a much wider network than you might get in a single employer?
Most definitely. You're absolutely right. So we're delighted to be having just in this last week, in fact, announced the arrival of our Sapphire Roundtables, which are a quarterly roundtable opportunity for, just as you say, LGBT women from a variety, a vast array of industries and sectors, both companies large and small, both public and private, to come together each quarter in all of the capital cities that we are travelling to at this point in time for Sapphire, that being Perth, Canberra, Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane, to come together quarterly, you know, to really discuss challenges, discuss some of these unique and sensitive issues at the same time as, you know, creating and developing positive role models and female leaders.
Do employee networks, LGBTI networks, that also have a women's network, do they find it easier? A woman more likely to be willing to network, or is it still just as difficult?
Look, I think that we generally would see more women networking amongst their women's network than we have seen in recent years of female representation across LGBTI networks, which is an interesting thing. With that said, we are seeing more and more organisations and workplaces that we're working with now starting to open the dialogue and create conversation and networking opportunities between their women's network and their LGBTI network. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops.
Because there are benefits to be had in sharing the knowledge across those networks.
Absolutely. There's real benefit in being able to role model and share with each other. In fact, across all networks, not just women networks and LGBTI networks, but all of the other networks that are available to many organisations now as well.
You have some Sapphire ambassadors in Christine Forster.
Great woman.
She is a great woman, yes. Sorry.
And Susie Russell-Guilford, who we've had on the show. Your average employer might struggle to get the same sort of employee with that impact to stand up and lead. That'd be another benefit of the Sapphire initiative and that you're able to provide that sort of leadership, those organisations that Christine and Susie are part of are very, very lucky, aren't they?
That's right. They most certainly are. And indeed, Sapphire is extremely lucky as well. We feel indebted to our ambassadors, both Christine and Susie, for the work that they do. And also I might include there Michelle Rogers from Curtin University, our university ambassador. Look, a few weeks ago, we were thrilled to stand alongside one of our member organisations and bring our key 2015 event, LBT Role Models, Please Stand Up. And that event took place in Sydney, and we live streamed to Brisbane, Perth, London, Madrid and Hong Kong as well. And look, our director moderated the panel, and you know, we had some fantastic and outstanding women, if you will, on that panel. You know, Dr. Ruth Higgins spoke, Senator Louise Pratt, Rebecca Gay, and Dr. Cassandra Goldie, and we discussed, you know, the importance of standing up and speaking out, and there were over 100 women in attendance that night along with allies. So, yes, we're grateful to our Sapphire ambassadors, and indeed their organisations are extremely lucky. And we're equally indebted, I guess, to all of the women who stand up and speak out at work, you know, no matter their position or their rank, if you will. You know, in fact, at the recent AWEI Annual Awards Luncheon in May, we awarded the first Sapphire Inspire Award to an incredible young out woman for creating sustainable change in her own workplace. So, you know, we're really excited to be continuing the journey. It's a very exciting time for the Sapphire Initiative. It is an initiative of pride in diversity, and I'm just delighted to be a part of it and to continue to grow this very important area of work.
When you're establishing one of your an LGBTIQ network, how important is it within your organisation, drawing from that group of employees, to have a woman willing to stand up?
It's extremely important. You know, we know that we have others who are standing up and speaking out. We have many very dedicated and driven allies, as we mentioned in our last, interview, and they play a really important role in LGBTI workplace inclusion initiatives as we continue to progress this very important area of work, but so too to women who, you know, no matter how they identify, whether they be lesbian, you know, bisexual, transgender or gender diverse, it really doesn't matter. The fact that people are willing to stand up and speak out is key, to call out non-inclusive behaviours, non-inclusive language, and also to be able to role model for those younger women, or perhaps even more mature women who, for whatever reason, still don't feel that they can be themselves in the workplace.
Lynn Search, thank you very much for joining us. We're out of time, and I look forward to next year and seeing your awards in particular growing at an exponential rate, because I think it is a wonderful thing you're doing and very, very important in workplaces around Australia.
Thank you so much, Emma. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Thanks very much, Lynn. Thanks again. You are on Lefty Pinkos here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.